This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at @itswilltime and at @BarnettJake. On today's show, the Cruiserweight Classic and expectations for WWE's Cruiserweight division. Want to hear more about the Cruiserweight Classic? Zach Zimmerman is reviewing the show every week in audio form for ProWrestling.net members. Plus, ProWrestling.net members get access to all of our audio updates, all of our show reviews, all of the quick hits audio, all of the ProWrestling.net weekly audio shows that get done. They get it all. If you want to check it out, see if it's for you, listen to more wrestling audio content, well, head over to ProWrestling.net, click the membership link, and for $7.50 a month or $5.50 a month if you take that annual option, you can become a ProWrestling.net member. So, Jake, we are about 4 weeks into the Cruiserweight Classic. Neither you or I have seen the fourth show because it aired basically as we were recording this. But we've seen weeks one through three. We know the format, and that's what we want to spend today talking about, the Cruiserweight Classic. What do you think of it thus far? What do you think of what WWE is doing with a very different feel to a show?
I think it's really exciting. You know, it's not for everyone, probably. I think there's, you know, if you are somebody who is more of an entertainment fan instead of, you know, the in-ring action, you know, if you're somebody who watches wrestling for the drama and that kind of stuff, you're probably, you know, finding yourself drifting away from this kind of show. But I think it's been a fantastic treat for people who grew up watching wrestling, you know, 15, 20 years ago, or, you know, somebody who really had a fondness for the cruiserweight explosion in ECW and WCW that happened in the mid to late 90s. I think it's a huge throwback to what was so interesting and exciting about that stuff, where you saw, you know, people from all around the world clashing styles, and you know, bringing together the top talent from basically, you know, countries that you wouldn't think would produce a lot of wrestlers, and giving them a shot to just show what they can do. And I think it's been, you know, there's been some magic involved here. I mean, there have been some fantastic matches, even in the opening round that we've been watching for the past the first 3 weeks. So I've been hugely impressed with it. I've enjoyed the presentation. I think the sports feel is a welcome departure from, you know, what we had been having on main roster television. And I think, you know, Daniel Bryan, even in the first couple of weeks, you know, it kind of instantaneously became, you know, one of the better announcers in WWE. He exudes passion. You know, I think his combination with Mauro Ranallo should, you know, be in the running for, you know, a future major show spot, because I think they have great chemistry together.
They do. That's Daniel Bryan's performance on the show actually has really surprised me, because I wondered when they announced that he would be announcing this show, what if he's not a good announcer? He's Daniel Bryan. Like, he comes out, he says yes, he's okay on promos, he's really, really good in the ring. And he brings his passion and his knowledge to the announce booth in a great, great way. One of the things that you mentioned was the wrestlers from a bunch of other countries. And to me, one of the unexpected delights of the Cruiserweight Classic is how diverse this tournament is. Like, you have wrestlers from, 16 different countries? They always say, like, you have wrestlers from 16 countries, all of this diversity in the ring. It's really, really cool to see on a WWE show. Not that WWE shies away from diversity, but they have interesting ways of presenting people of other nationalities that aren't always positive. And they are definitely presenting everyone as positive, everyone as a fine human, everyone as an athlete who wants to win, who wants that pride of winning. And I think it works exceptionally well for the Cruiserweight Classic series. I'm really, really happy with how this show is shaping up. And they are just doing so many little different things that I really believe are kind of the future in wrestling, and also that are just really refreshing to see.
So do you think what we're seeing in the Cruiserweight Classic then is exactly what we're going to see on Raw? Or do you feel like the Cruiserweight Classic is just sort of a proof of concept that they want to, you know, sort of retool and make work on main roster TV?
I think it would be a strange thing to do on main roster TV exactly like this. I think you bring some characters over. You definitely establish who they are in the Cruiserweight Classic and bring them into main roster TV. But I would also say you take some time and create a couple heels in the division. They don't have that necessarily on the Cruiserweight Classic. They have some arrogant people who won't shake hands and adhere to the code of honor, or, you know, whatever that is. You know, you have moments like that where you're like, okay, I see what you're going for, but it's not exactly what, you know, a classic wrestling heel would be. I think you have to change how you tell stories a little bit, but I think action-wise, it's a lot of what we see. I'd love for it to be, to have more of the sports-like feel, which Raw has gravitated towards since the brand split as well. I would love for it to have more of that sports-like feel from beginning to end on Raw. And with the Cruiserweights having, if you will, even more of that.
Yeah, I think they have sort of migrated a bit towards a more serious presentation on Raw. I mean, and, you know, a lot of that has to do with the, you know, the brand split and them, you know, intentionally choosing to go after a different tone. But it also, you know, feels like it has to do with the announcing changes and other things that have happened, you know, that seem to have refocused a lot of people. And I'm, you know, pleased to hear, you know, that everybody is having a fairly positive reaction to, you know, the Raw announced team and what they've been doing. I think it's interesting to me, you know, to think about how they're going to implement the Cruiserweight division on that show. I mean, you want the Cruiserweight division to feel like a change of pace from the regular action. You know, it's got to define itself somehow. If it's just smaller wrestlers doing the same stuff, then it just kind of becomes samey and somewhat boring. So how you differentiate the Cruiserweight division without, you know, abandoning everything about what they've been doing, you know, since the rebranding is going to be a challenge. And I'm curious to see how they try to, you know, thread that needle. Cause I think it's going to be a difference without a distinction if they just try to, you know, import what has been going on in the Cruiserweight Classic to, you know, to the Cruiserweight division on Raw. So it is going to take some creative work and some establishment of characters. But how you do that when you got to bring in, you know, 8 or 10 guys at once, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the weird thing is it's a division that is going to debut on Raw. So you are trying to get over 10 characters at once. Let's say it's around 10 at first. Like they have 10 guys that they want to build around. Do you have just, hey, we're going to have 3 squash matches with cruiserweights per week for the next few months, and we're going to establish these 10 guys slowly? Does someone come in as the champion? WWE has a great video team. They're going to have amazing footage of all of these guys. They've already made video packages about all of them in the Cruiserweight Classic that I hope continue into the second round of the Cruiserweight Classic. Do you roll videos on, you know, your 2 or 3 major Cruiserweight stars? Maybe even previewing the series. You start a month out. Hey, we're going to have Cruiserweights on Raw in 4 weeks. The Cruiserweight division's debuts or starts or whatever. Get to know Cruiserweight champion, you know, whoever it is, whoever they end up giving, you know, Grand Metalik or Zack Sabre Jr. or whoever they end up giving that the tournament win to, if that's exactly how WWE wants this to work. I think that would work. Like, I think that would be fine. But how do you debut them, and how do you keep it fresh, and how do you differentiate the Cruiserweight style from the heavyweight style, when the Cruiserweight style has so, over the last 10 years, has so heavily seeped into the heavyweight style? It's kind of the same issue New Japan has, where your junior heavyweight matches don't look that different than your heavyweight matches, because you have even guys crossing over, like Ibushi was doing there for a while, or like an AJ Styles, who is a cruiserweight in most respects, but was wrestling in their heavyweight division. How do you make those different wrestling styles even stand out?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. I think they're going to have to shoot it differently. I think they're going to have to pace it differently. You know, the announcers are going to have to treat it differently. You know, I don't want to see, you know, they don't have to run out there and change the drapes around the ring or you know, put a, you know, a purple light on the ring or whatever, you know, craziness they might
try to adapt. They need to make it look just like Evolve.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's necessary, but they are going to have to make it feel different, and I think a lot of that is going to have to do with pacing. And you know, I think when you say cruiserweight, you know, you're sort of importing a lot of expectations from what people were used to years ago. And so, do they necessarily want to try to repeat that on the main roster? I'm not so sure. I mean, I think the cruiserweights worked a bit of a, you know, somewhat of a dangerous style, you know, looking back on it. So I think there's a challenge there, but I think they do have enough talent just in, you know, the people that they've been signing recently and the people that have gotten offers who worked at the Cruiserweight Classic that, you know, given, you know, the right kind of promotion and enough story, you know, they have the talent to do it. So I'm looking forward to seeing them try anyway.
Yeah, same here. Who do you... So going now, looking at the Cruiserweight Classic, who do you see as winning that? Like, who is your actual pick now that we are down to 8 or, you know, 10 guys if you haven't watched this week's, or 10, 12? No, it would be 10. 16. 16 guys. I just did a weird amount of math. Now that we're down to 16 guys here, who do you see actually winning that Cruiserweight Classic tournament?
I'm hard-pressed not to pick Ibushi and Sabre Jr. in the finals. But I'm not entirely convinced that my pick is correct. I'm leaning towards Zack Sabre Jr., but you know, I'm not 100% confident in that. I mean, I think they, you know, there's enough talent anywhere, you know, in this whole series that you know they want them. They might want to book some upsets, and they might want to set up feuds for the main roster if they have, you know, a core group of guys that they're, you know, they're trying to build for that. So I think it might be a little bit too premature to make a confident pick, but at this point, I think it's probably Sabre Jr. or Ibushi.
I could definitely see either one of them. I would toss in Grand Metalik. I think he's someone who's definitely on WWE's radar and is definitely someone that I would say they have a future for. And it's hard to discount. I haven't watched this week's show, so I don't know who wins between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, but these are guys WWE has been bringing in for about a year at this point, is really content with using. You can tell they really like their work and what they do. Why not just give it to someone who's been in and out of your system for a year and is someone that you really appreciate, especially with it seeming like Gargano is going straight into the main roster, that cruiserweight division, with him finishing up on the indies soon. That's all pretty... those to me are some pretty solid picks. I'd be fine with any of them, to be honest. I'm more interested in seeing how the tournament itself plays out. What do you think of the idea of throwing to, you know, after about every match, we're throwing to Corey Graves, who's updating the bracket. Do you like that? Do you think it's a little gimmicky to have Corey Graves in what I assume is some sort of green screen hell?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother me, but it's not like, oh man, this is cool. Like, I mean, it's not thrilling or anything, but I think it all just kind of goes back to that sports feel. You know, it closely mimics what SportsCenter does, you know, on a regular basis with the green screen work that they do. So I'm not entirely against it, but it does seem like it's, you know, a bit campy for, you know, a WWE show, but it's fine. I mean, I'm not going to pick it apart just because it's not so long. The segments aren't so long and obnoxious that it really bothers me.
Yeah, they don't bug me. I like the idea that they're updating it constantly and that they always show it to you going, ooh, look at this matchup you get in the second round now. To me, that, again, feels like something you'd see watching college basketball or watching, you know, watching the college basketball tournament or another major sports tournament where you go, oh, that just came together. This is fantastic. Yeah, overall, I like the Cruiserweight Classic. I will say that if they were trying to run it for more than 10 weeks, if it was more a TV show that was just cruiserweights than a 10-week tournament of cruiserweights, I do think the format would get kind of boring. It's dry. It is a dry wrestling show, and I enjoy it in that way. I enjoy the way it feels. I enjoy it as a one-hour change of pace, but I don't know that I would want something that dry as a 52-week-a-year thing.
Yeah, you'd want some more variety on the show. I mean, I think that's why, you know, it's you don't see this become a... I mean, imagine if you had to watch this for 3 hours. I mean, it would be pulling teeth. I mean, it does lack a little bit of flavor every now and again. And even though I think there's parts of this that could be implemented other places in WWE programming, it's definitely not a presentation I would like to see, you know, moved to, you know, SmackDown or something. But I'm definitely, you know, glued to some of the stories that they're telling here. I think they have something interesting going with Brian Kendrick. You know, I think they have, you know, something interesting going with TJ Perkins. I think there's, you know, the Grand Metallics, the Tozawas, the Zack Sabre Juniors, the Rich Swans. You know, there's a lot of talent that they seem to have earmarked as being special, and so I think there's definitely a lot of room for the tension to get ratcheted up as they get into later rounds, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what it's like now that we're out of the first round. How do they change the tournament a little bit? How does the wrestling style change? How does the tension change? How does just the intensity of the matches change? I should say also something I don't know if enough people are talking about with this. Every match in this tournament has a time limit. It's something WWE has left out of their presentation for so long. They haven't addressed it. It's never discussed. It's, you know, the following contest is scheduled for one fall and is for, you know, the WWE Championship. They don't use time limits. And obviously, a lot of people, you and I included, have lamented that, because imagine watching a football game without a time limit. It'd be weird. But every match in the Cruiserweight Classic has a time limit. Every first round match was said to have a 20-minute time limit. I'm interested to see there, too. Do they pull some shenanigans in this next round, because I would say that's the place to do it, where it's not going to affect the finals too much, but do they do something in this next round that says, hey, there's an issue, something happened here. Now, you know, the bracket's slightly broken, or they protected someone in some way. I think that's really possible.
Well, I think the clock can, you know, it becomes an adversary.
Yeah.
At some point when a guy's trying to put somebody away, he just can't do it. And I think, you know, Jim Ross was the first person that I can recall, you know, really hammering on the time issue. But I think it is a welcome element here, because especially in the later rounds where, you know, if a guy, you know, can't put somebody away, you know, does a draw mean they're both out of the tournament? Does it mean that you got to go and have a triple threat in the next round? It's an interesting preposition.
Yeah, they mentioned on it was last week's show, they mentioned that a double countout would result in both men being eliminated. But does that mean that a guy gets a bye in the next round, or does that mean that they fill in with a, you know, they have alternates, quote unquote, that are listed, that I guess are people that come in if someone's injured and wrestle in their place and take over for them? Do they put an alternate in if there's a double countout or a double disqualification, to make it so there will not be a bye for anyone in the tournament?
It's fun to think about, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I like the idea of it. You know, out of all the tournaments that WWE has done, I think this one at least seems to take its own rules seriously, and that's something that I can appreciate.
Yeah, this tournament seems to take itself far more seriously than, say, the King of the Ring or some other tournaments have. Even the recent WWE Championship tournament had shenanigans about, and this one, it doesn't. It's a straight up presentation of it. And like I said, it's refreshing. It's not something I'd want all the time, but it is quite delightful. I think that'll wrap it up for us this week, Jake. Anything to add about the Cruiserweight Challenge, the Cruiserweight Classic, sorry, or anything else in wrestling?
No, I think we covered it, man. Thanks for having me with you.
There it is. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!